a real motherfucker, this a place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattle think is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
All right, welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. We're live, motherfuckers, from Atlantic City, the Borgata Hotel and Casino, in my beautiful room on a really muggy, shitty Monday morning. This is coming out a little bit late. End of the live stream is supposed to start at 12. We do apologize. We were out gambling until 4 o'clock in the morning last night. I am joined by my lovely co-host for the day, Kimberly Congdon.
What's up, everybody?
How you feeling, Kim?
I'm feeling great.
I feel like on the last episode, you turned some fans. I don't know what it was about the last episode that you did with me.
What was it? I was meaner to you.
Maybe. No, don't fucking think that's the way the means to an end here. That ain't happening. I'm sick of this
shit. I just really got to start being me, you know?
Yeah, no. We're not going to do that on my fucking show. But there was something about the last episode where usually when I get just me and you on the show, I get a bunch of people going like, dude, fuck this. I'm not listening to your fucking stupid girlfriend talk for an hour and a half. Suck my dick. Unsubscribe. I'm going to kill your son. That's like you get a lot of visceral like hate sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's you, though. I think it's for the most part, you know. I think the fact that you're a chick, I think a lot of dudes
It's the Lewis effect. People like don't understand. Then over time, they hear me and they're like, "Oh, I actually like her."
That's true. You do have a little bit of the Lewis effect, which I like. But I think it's also people kind of shut down the fact that it's going to be a chick, and also a chick. Like sometimes you talk about shit. You have liberal sensibilities, feminist sensibilities. And I think
I still want you to pay for stuff.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, you're a hypocrite. You're not you're not consistent with your beliefs. It's all horseshit. It's not real.
I believe what I believe. That's what I say.
Kim's a climber. Moment will get her as far as possible, she will just take the opportunity. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Kim. You know, but it's this. We have a similar thing. It's like a sociopath type of quality where. You know, you're very nice to people, but you're not a nice person. You know, in order to get what you want out of people, you have to manipulate them and be nice to them.
Yeah, and it's not even that a lot of the times I want to be mean to people. I'm just not as nice of a person as I put out to be because people don't accept it well if you're not overly friendly.
Yeah.
So even if you're yourself, because I know friends that are like, they don't seem friendly and I love them. I have so many friends like
me.
That. Yeah, you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's kind of the person I am. But people don't like that at first. So you kind of have to slowly.
Yeah, I think that.
Show them you're a bitch.
Yeah, well, I think what happened with my fans is they hear you a few times and they go, okay, well, she's not just fucking. You're not out there just trying to convey that message nonstop over and over again, which is like, and that's fine. You can be a liberal, you can be a conservative, you can be whatever. But if your whole existence is just fucking delivering that message, and that's everything about you is like you're on this team, and you know they call them clapter comics, where they're everything about their jokes is you know get the audience to clap and think and go, oh, I agree with that, and then laughing is sort of secondary. You're not that person. You are definitely a funny first. Like you don't give a shit. You'll say whatever to get the laugh, which I think people start to appreciate listening to you after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say anything to get a laugh.
That's it. And that's the most important thing. I got to show you the argument that Aaron Berg had with this chick, Jess.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
Bilou.
Is she a comic?
She's a comic out of Canada, out of Toronto. And Aaron and his friends went up to Canada to do a special show called White Guys Matter, I think. Mm-hmm. They named it that to be provocative and to fucking, you know, to kind of... You know, I guess turn up their nose at the whole, you know, SJW movement in comedy. And they knew that they were going to kind of kick up dust because Canada is particularly, they're kind of fucking pussies up there. So this chick You guys got to go listen to it. Unfortunately, I would say we should listen to it on the show and talk about it a little bit, but we don't have the technological means to do that right now without me just putting a microphone up to my fucking computer. So I will spare you guys that. But he fucking crushes this girl. He crushes her so handily. It's amazing. This chick comes in and she's mad that he's doing this. And, you know, at one point in the argument, she actually says the words. He was like, "Yeah, the truth is funny is first." That's what it comes down to. And she's like, "No, it's not. Funny is not the most important thing." And you're like, whoa.
Then quit comedy, bitch.
Quit. Get out.
Yeah, go away.
You got to go away. That's it. You know, you're
not for you.
You're coming in and you're trying to do something different. If you want to be a writer or you want to, like, you know, it's just not. I just come from a time and from a place in comedy. New York City comedy clubs, you are supposed to be fucking funny. And to be honest with you, nobody deconstructs what you're going to say in these clubs. There's no comics that are doing that. There's no management. There's no bookers. New York comedy is a very specific fucking thing in those clubs. Like when Louis got in trouble, Noam, the owner of the Comedy Cellar, the most respected comedy club in the world, he was like, if Louis walked in these doors right now, I would ask him to go on stage. Are you fucking crazy? It's Louis. Fuck you. And there's just this thing about New York comedy that's incredible. And it's never, we don't really have that same type of scrutiny here. It's really online. It's on Twitter. It's on social media. It's on podcasts, radio. You go out of the club and out of that world, and then you're sort of scrutinized a lot more. And this is sort of becoming like a big fight, and it's been happening for a while, but the fact that this fucking chick calls herself a comic and is going to go after comedians publicly tweeting at the club saying, you know, cancel this show. You know, these guys shouldn't be working here. Mm-hmm. And to be actively trying to take away an opportunity from another comic because you don't agree with their political sensibilities.
It's also like, why do you care so much? Why aren't you like trying to like go book a weekend somewhere?
Because they're not funny. Yeah. The people, let me tell you something. Like,
who spends their time caring about someone else's show? I know there are so many offensive shows I know about. Mm-hmm. Really bad shows.
Yep.
And I don't care.
You don't go.
I just don't go.
Who cares?
I just don't go and I don't promote it if I don't believe in it.
Yeah. And by the way, you have the right to do whatever you want to fucking do. If somebody wanted to do a show where they were
his art.
They were drawing swastikas in fucking cum and blood on walls and that's the show, more power to you. Guess what? I'm not going to go to that show.
Because it's weird.
I might. I might try to get some ideas.
You guys can't see this, but he just got hard.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying? I just don't know. As an artist or as a comedian, how do you get up and go like, oh, it is now my job to police the work of others, to get up and do that? And I think that type of chick comic, I think people very easily dismiss any young female comic that's sort of part of this, you know, time. And if you post anything
it
about Me Too.
Because I'm kind of a feminist.
You are a feminist.
Yeah.
I'm a feminist too. By the standard of feminism, believing that everyone should be treated equally and everyone should have equal pay and men are the same as women and we all have the same opportunities given to us. Yeah, I'm a feminist too, 100%.
If I smack Lewis, I duck. Because he should
bitch
hit me gonna
back. Bitch is going to get a fucking hook. I'm reactionary. You ever tell the story when you kicked me on the subway? We probably did talk about that.
I don't know. Yeah, I dropped Lewis.
She fucking kicked me. Well, she didn't drop. I checked the kick. I dropped myself.
Oh, he dropped. Oh, never mind, you guys. I didn't drop Lewis. He dropped himself.
I did. And then it hit me in like between like the bone, the muscle, and the tendon. It was like there's probably like one or two places on your body that like you have to be like a fucking monk that studies martial arts for 80 years in order to know the place to hit in order to fucking drop a man this easily. Dude, she fucking hit me and it sent just shockwaves through my body. And she saw it. Like, she just saw the beast in my eyes. Like, she was like, oh, he's going to punch me in the fucking face. And it wasn't, if I would have punched you, I shouldn't have been arrested for it. Because it wasn't even me anymore. You hit a button that turned me into a violent woman beater. Because I was going to fuck you up. If you were within my reach, I was going to... oh my God, I was going to fuck you up.
I ran so fast.
It was crazy.
I was out. Yeah. People on the subway didn't even know what happened. They thought that it was like a serious thing that I like, you probably tried to attack me and I
of
dropped
course.
You and I ran.
Yeah.
Whatever
it is, they need to start teaching that move to chicks in self-defense classes.
Oh, and I remember right where I hit you.
No. Not the balls, by the way. Would you ever do that? If a guy was trying to rape you, what would be your defensive move?
Well, I guess.
Because you're not getting that kick on.
Depends on what position we're in, I guess.
Armbar? Triangle choke? What is he doing?
If a guy tried to rape me, are we standing or laying at this point?
It's a good point. Guy comes up to you, grabs you, slams you up against the wall. She's getting turned on. He starts kissing you passionately. He starts speaking to you in Italian.
I'd be like, don't tell Lewis.
Yeah. My boyfriend's a faggot. My boyfriend has no passion. Kiss me. Give me that cock. But what would be your physical move? You make the decision that you're going to, because look, you don't know what's going to really happen. Well, fight, flight, like, or freeze, right? So yeah. In the moment, you make the decision, I'm going to fucking fight.
Yeah.
What is the move you go do?
Eyes. Yes.
What do you do?
Poke them.
Stare into them deeply.
Or just pretend I'm turned on. I'm like, we don't have to do this roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that.
Pull my pants out. And then when he's like, wait, she wants it, then gouge the eyes.
Gouge the eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to gouge because I already know that, like, I'm just not physically stronger than a man, especially a man that's, like, running on testosterone and rape adrenaline. Like,
yeah, dude, rape juice will fuck you.
Rape juice is like retard juice.
Yeah,
like,
if you, look, you know how they say,
you might,
like,
as well be Down syndrome at this point.
You know how they say when you, like, people will go through, like, moments of adrenaline rushes where, like, something's going to happen and they lift a car off their baby? If you're trying to rape a bitch, you will lift the car to rape that bitch.
Exactly. Because, you know, there's just, like, a lot going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing I can do is take out his sight for a minute so I can get away. I can't see. Have you ever been poked in the eye? It fucking stops you in your tracks.
You're going to give him a Mo Larry Curly? Whoop, 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 whoop. Ah, your knucklehead? You hit him on top of the head?
Boom! Kapow!
Now, listen, you're not a Marine. You know how to take somebody's fucking eyes out?
I can.
You're going to blind somebody?
I could blind you at
bitch,
any moment.
I'll let you blind me. I'll let you try to blind me right now. You're not blinding me.
I could blind you. With my acrylic.
Dear God, I'm fucking blind. No, you're not blinding me. You don't have the ability.
If a guy slammed me up against the wall, if his arms are holding me, then my legs are free, so I can kick him. So maybe I can kick his feet, so I push him forward, or you know what I'm saying?
And then he slams his face on the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Like Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
I get what you're doing. Okay.
I'm having fantasies.
So then you would do a parkour run up the subway wall, run around, jump on top of a subway.
I'd run towards the bathroom tile, jump on the sink, do a backflip onto his shoulders.
Okay, snap his neck with your knees. Okay.
Make him run out to the subway, kick him onto the track, jump off his back as the train's coming, walk away, go home, don't tell anybody.
Why not? It's the beginning of your movie.
Humble.
That's the beginning of the Kim Congdon movie, action adventure. Well, what I was going to tell women is don't go for the balls. I think a lot of women think, like, oh, I'm going to wreck this guy's balls, right?
I think that's what they tell women so we can die easier.
I don't know what it is that you think the balls are going to do except for make me angrier and stronger. I'm going to fucking, if you hit it, it's once again, it's like, you know, when you kick me, you see red and you don't have control of your bodily functions. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And you get hit in the balls, you sort of, it's not debilitating, I'm going to be dropped pain. I talked to Bisping about this on the BYM podcast, like MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. They have cups on and they get hit in the balls. And he said this, he was like, 95% of the time, those guys are just taking the minute to catch their breath. He was like, it kind of hurts a little bit, but you're in a fight. He was like, that's not taking you out of the fight. You're not like, we get kicked in the fucking face, punched in the face. It's not like getting your ball clipped in your cup is going to be like, oh, it's like if you're not overacting, then you shouldn't be a fucking fighter. That's crazy. That's the way you're reacting to having your balls clipped while you're in a cup. So I almost feel like that's the same thing with men. They say, you know, rake the eyes, knee him in the balls, run away. It's like, no, you're going to rake the eyes, knee him in the balls, and now he's on top of you punching you repeatedly.
Not if he can't see me.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm getting an acrylic in his eye. I don't know what you think is going to happen.
We get it, Kim. You get your nails on. Three times she's mentioned her fucking acrylics. We understand.
Because that's a good way to poke an eye.
Yeah.
It's like a knife.
I know a kid in the ninth grade who was like, I guess he was sort of a bully. Bully's the wrong word because I'm sure he wasn't a bad kid. He didn't roll with my crew. A little bit of a tougher kid, right? Brian something. What the fuck was his name?
He didn't roll with your crew?
He didn't roll with my crew.
Okay.
Well, because once I got into high school, I started getting a little bit nerdier. Middle school, I was kind of a thug. Like, I hung out with, like, James Ciccone, Mike Guerrero, Paulino Hilario. Like, we were all these...
Nobody knows these people.
Well, I'm trying to give you the diversity in names, and they sound like garbage people. Like, you're listening to these names, you're like, okay, these aren't good people that have done good things with their lives. Like, you know, actually, Mike's actually killing it. He's a he was into bodybuilding for a while and then switched to yoga. And he's like a 6'4", like muscly yogi now. He's fucking hilarious. He's so cool. Love Mike. Motivation Mike on Instagram. Go look him up.
Okay.
But yeah, so Cohen's been in prison multiple times, and fucking Paulie killed himself a couple years ago. So,
what?
Yeah. Paulie killed himself.
No, Paulie.
I remember Paulie too. I feel so bad. Like in the eighth grade, this is so sad. He fucking, like, this is before people had cell phones. Mm-hmm. This is seventh or eighth grade. And I had a cordless phone. Uh-huh. You know, cordless phones, you'd pick up like other people's conversations. Like if you live close enough to somebody, your phones could get crossed.
Hear your neighbors, yeah.
Dude, one time he was just on the phone with his girlfriend and he was crying to her. And it was just like a fucking...
You were listening?
Yeah. And he's just going, I'm ugly. You think I'm ugly? And he's just crying to her. And she's like, no, Paulie, I don't think you're ugly. And I was like listening to this going like, oh my fucking God. Just like a bizarre, weird, fucked up like conversation. Like a dude never wants to hear one of his boys like know that his boy listens to that fucking conversation. Just fucking brutal, brutal. Oh, and he killed himself.
He should after fucking that conversation.
Oh, Jesus. I feel bad. He was a nice kid too. I don't know exactly what happened there.
He thought he was ugly.
Had too many mirrors in his house. It's really probably that girl's fault. She could have done a better job to convince him.
I don't know. If someone was like, I'm ugly, you hate me, I'd be like, you need to fix this. Yeah, I have my own problems.
This is a me issue. This is a you issue.
Click.
Yeah.
I have a show.
But that's the truth. He wasn't, I guess he wasn't a super attractive kid, but he was like in good shape and he got hot chicks. And it's like the chicks don't. They're not into a fucking dude who doesn't have confidence.
You can be ugly, just don't have low self-esteem.
Yeah, dude. Jay-Z's an ugly motherfucker, but he can crush puss because he's a brilliant artist and he's never going, I'm ugly, yo.
I'm telling you, it literally doesn't matter what you look like when you're a man.
Thanks, babe.
I have friends. I'm not saying that about you, but I'm just saying I have friends.
You looked at me and said literally as you looked at me head to toe. If you guys would have, I wish we had a video version of this podcast.
I gagged.
Because she literally looked at me from head to toe, went, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's infuriating.
Ever, Lewis.
Yeah.
Keep wearing those hats. It's great. I have a friend who's a 10. She's like a 10.
Which
and
one?
She, it doesn't matter. And
which,
she,
was her, give me the first initial of her first name.
No. And she,
Is it Emily?
No. You love Emily. Lewis thinks Emily's so hot.
Emily's fucking hot.
She is really hot.
Emily's a smoke show.
She really is.
Emily,
what did you say about Emily? What did you say about me and Emily? I look like
you look like if Emily fell into like a pit of shit and dirt and then climbed out of it. You gotta go to Kim's Instagram. She posts pictures with Emily. She's a beautiful blonde girl. They have a similar body type. Like she's a blonde girl with like a big ass and like a small waist and like smoke show. And then like her and Kim, they take these pictures and they kind of look like each other, but it's like Kim's all brown and fucking dirty. And Emily's like this beautiful white blonde angel sitting next to her. It's like it's
we
like,
do really compliment. We used to say all the time when we go out together, I'm like we're like
the yin and yang.
Well, yeah, it's like
because she's also sweet and you're a bitch.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's like very.
What it looks like is like it looks like a before and after picture. If like a Christian family tells you if you masturbate too much, what you'll turn into?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like you become evil.
I'm like the dirty slutty version of her.
Yeah. The devil's in me. Be gone, beasts.
I'm just coming.
The power of Christ compels you.
I fuck Christ too.
I'm talking about my girlfriend right now.
I'm talking about myself right now. Yeah. But no, I have a friend and she dates like dudes that are so fat and ugly and she's like just doesn't care. There's so many girls that don't care.
Yeah, you just gotta be confident. That's it. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. How did we get into James Ciccone, Mike Guerrero, and Paulina Hilario?
The bully at your school, the kid that was bullied.
Yeah, so this kid. So we were talking about scratching eyes, right?
Oh yeah.
So this kid, the story I heard was he was like bullying this fucking kid. This is like younger black kid. I don't know if he was actually bullying him. I don't want to say that because people listen to these shows sometimes and, you forget that they're real people in the world that, like, you know, it's like, dude, they're talking about you. And it's like, you know.
And then he goes and listens and then it's like.
Well, I don't want to make people feel bad. Maybe he wasn't a bully. Maybe I only heard the version of the story that came back to us, which was he was kind of fucking with this kid. And this young black kid put a key between his knuckle and fucking just fucking gave him a fucking whack to the eye, poked out his eye. Eighth or ninth grade, this kid's fucking eye patch. For life. That's it.
No eye.
Yeah.
Forever.
Forever.
One fight.
But also can make him kind of look more like a badass.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But he can only bully people to the left of him afterwards. All you have to do is just make sure you walk to this kid's right.
God.
But imagine that, dude. You get your fucking eye gouged out. So that would be the move that I would tell a chick to do. Put your keys in between your knuckles.
Okay, you don't have time to grab your keys and put them in between your knuckles when someone randomly comes up behind you and throws you up against a wall. When is the time to grab your keys when your arms are already against the wall?
You know what I really like? I like when people put keys in my pussy. Here, let me get them for you. And then, bah, right in the eye.
Well, the thing about rape is I think they get off on you not liking it.
Oh, my God, please don't let me get my keys and put them in my pussy. Please, no, please, no. No, I don't want my keys. Yeah. That's what you do. And it's like, yeah, bitch, you want your keys. Take your keys. Take your fucking keys, bitch.
You've done this before.
The only time you're I could really act well gross. Is when I'm acting like a rapist.
When I was in elementary school, there was a kid that was running on the playground. You know how they have the like red mulch? You know what I'm talking about? Like red mulch that you garden with? Mulch, like wood chippings.
Wood chips, yeah.
Yeah, that was what the playground was made out of for some reason.
They didn't give a fuck back then. No. We had a gravel playground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They used to do like just tire, like cut up pieces of tire.
Yeah, which is like just definitely poisoning these children's bodies. We had on our tire play, we had a playground made of tires.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like tire swings and like a big dragon that was made out of tires and like all these different things. And the ground was...
It gets so hot in the summer.
It was just... yeah, it did. It was crazy. The ground was just gravel. Like...
Yeah.
So you can grab a handful of gravel. And what would happen is every single day, at one point, the schoolyard would turn into a gigantic gravel fight. I mean, just every day without like... Literally, it's just like little girls getting like fucking gravel just like thrown... Like, you know...
No, playgrounds were never comfortable. 8 and 9 year old
boys can throw pretty hard. Like, still to this day, there's like 9 year old kids who can throw way better than I can throw. Like, there's not like sidearm a baseball. Like, they've been playing baseball their whole life.
Yeah.
These little kids would just fucking whap, you know, gravel into each other's faces. And it was just everywhere. Like, every single day at lunch, you would just look into the gravel, the tire playground, and it's just gravel flying everywhere. And you hear whistles blowing. Like, that's just part of it. It's just part of life.
Yeah. No, they made the playgrounds rough. This kid was running on the playground and he tripped and one of the mulch clippings went straight into his ear. Like, it was sitting straight up. And when he fell, it went jammed straight into his ear hole, like all the way in.
Oh.
And I remember, hey, it was like this fat kid. He came running up. In the middle of the playground, he just had blood dripping out of his ear and a piece of mulch hanging out.
Oh, my God. Did you all make fun of him? Ah!
I was like, ugh!
Yeah, Tony's got mulch ears.
I, like, could never look at him again.
Yeah.
I was very judgmental.
Do you ever wonder
child.
What that kid's doing now?
No. Literally never. I got sent to the principal's office for calling a black kid burnt toast in second grade.
It's creative. It's your first roast battle joke.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's nice. I remember there was a girl named Janelle Santiago who, I mean, for all intents and purposes, was probably Hispanic. I mean, Santiago, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was dark-skinned, like, I forget that I'm half dark-skinned Hispanic.
He called me Haitian first, by the way.
Oh, that's way worse.
Yeah, I was like, oh!
I used to just call her, she looked black, like straight up looked black, and I used to just like look her in the face and I used to just call her a monkey. But it wasn't racist. It was
it was definitely racist.
No, it wasn't. It was because she looked like a monkey.
Oh.
I didn't call all the black kids monkeys.
Oh.
I didn't go like, oh, look at all the monkeys in our school.
Okay, now you're being a little racist.
You guys want my banana? I know you do. I didn't do that. Okay. But Janelle, I would just look at her in the face and be like, all right, monkey bitch, fuck you. Like, we didn't like each other, and this was my go-to for her. I would draw pictures. By the way, beautiful girl. Beautiful girl, way better looking than me, probably way more successful than me in life. I remember she was like a good student too. Whatever it was, I just did not like this chick. We didn't like each other, right?
You probably really liked each other.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I had a little crush on her. But I remember at one point I drew a picture of a monkey. I was pretty, to this day, I can still cartoon. Okay. I could draw cartoons. Okay. But in the fourth, fifth grade, I was as good as I am today at it. Mm-hmm. So I could draw a pretty solid monkey.
Oh, this was the fourth, fifth grade.
Oh, yeah. What did you think this was?
High school.
Oh, you thought it was high school?
Yeah.
Okay, this was literally like fourth grade.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank God.
And I drew a picture of a gorilla, like a straight up baboon. Mm-hmm. And then I just drew her hair on it. And then I folded it up and gave it to her.
That's pretty funny. That's really funny.
Fuck, man.
I did something really mean one time, and I think about it all the time.
What'd you do?
I gave, you know, the rejection hotline.
Oh, I love the rejection
hotline. I gave it to a guy that asked for my phone number in school.
What? That's great.
That's so mean.
It's not mean.
And the next
day, it's a funny way to get rejected.
And the next day, my friend Francis, who knew that I gave it to him, was like, Matt, did you call Kim? And he was like, yeah, I get it. And then he like put his head down. And I was like,
what was the Florida rejection one?
Oh, it was like, this person that gave you their number thinks you're stupid, ugly, fat, kill yourself. It was like fucking terrible. I thought it was hilarious when I heard it.
New York City had their own rejection line, which it was two comics from New York. I forget the names of the people who did it. And they might have even stole the idea, or they might have invented the idea. But the New York City one gave you options to press, too. Mm-hmm. Did it have that?
I don't know. I don't want
to... Welcome to the New York City Rejection Hotline. The person who gave you this number did not want to see or hear from you ever again.
Yes.
So then it would, like, now, you know, to speak to our rejection specialist, press 1. To speak to, you know... a lost soul to read you a sad poem, speak 2. And then they go through the options. I wonder if I can still find it.
That kid was just like, I don't know.
212-479.
Oh my God, he remembers the rejection. 7990.
What is that number?
I don't know. Probably your own phone number you just put out again.
Oh man. What is 212-479-7990? 212-479-7990.
Please be a sex hotline.
This is something. This is somebody's number. I don't know what I'm calling right now, but.
What if it's one of your exes?
1-2-4-7-9-7-9-9-0. What the fuck is that number? Well, sorry guys, if that's somebody's number that I just gave out. Let's see, NYC rejection hotline.
It's just so mean to give to a 12-year-old boy.
Yes, yes! Doggy, look what? At the number.
What?
Read the top line.
212-479-7990.
That was 90. It's just not on anymore. I memorized that. How fucking crazy is
that?
That's crazy. Because when we used to sell comedy club tickets on the street, this 2001, this is when it was like peak of rejection hotline. So all of my female employees, I gave them that number to give out to guys on the street. They would ask them for their number. So I just knew it by heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sucks that they got rid of that.
I mean, I'm sure there is a rejection hotline right now. Number. Let's see if there's one like right now.
All right, let's see. Hold on. There's a different one. I'll call the Los Angeles one. 626-207-5412. This was so funny. Come on, dog.
A lot of people getting rejected right now.
All right, I'm gonna try it one more time, and then we gotta move on. 310-495-5412. This is the last time. That's it. Well,
yeah, it was fucked up though. It makes me feel bad. And that kid was just like,
that's funny though.
You know,
though.
Like how some kids are just like targets. They're just naturally targets for bullying. Like even I remember we had like a decently nice teacher.
Yeah.
And he was just never like that good in the class, and like was kind of a bad kid. Not terrible. You could just tell he was like smelly, came from a bad home kind of kid. Yeah. You know.
This kid was me.
Yeah, it was you. His name was Luis J. Gomez. But I remember one time. He told another kid, he was like, the teacher, I don't remember the teacher's name. He's like, the teacher doesn't like you. And she goes, well, that's ironic. And he goes, what does that mean? And she's like, I don't know. Ask, look it up.
Wait, hold on. I'm not following it.
He was saying, like, he was telling another student that the teacher hated him. The teacher hates you. And she
goes,
that's ironic that you'd say that.
I got it.
And he was like, what does that mean? And and I remember I went home and I looked up ironic and I was like, oh, she's mean.
And that's when you discovered Alanis Morissette.
Isn't it ironic? Yeah. Some kids were just like victims.
When your teacher hates you, she thinks you're a fat faggot.
I had a weird teacher, Mr. Teeter. I don't know if I should say that name, but he got... in trouble for having relationships with his student, and
fuck.
I saw my.
Well, hold on. Why are you trying to protect a guy who's fucking his students?
I guess yeah, you're right. He also. I watched my first soft core porn in his classroom.
What?
Yeah, he put on a porn for our classroom.
That's a little weird.
Isn't that weird?
What do you mean a porn though?
It was like this. It was supposed to be like a history thing, but it was more of like an sexual softcore porn. It was supposed to be, it was like this weird
Caligula?
I don't know what it was, but I remember like there was like an orgy in it and like all the people were fucking, and then it, like the sign said first come, first serve, and like on the entrance. It was like really sexual. It was like softcore history porn.
Let's see.
It was weird, and we watched it like every day for 20 minutes before lunch until the movie was over, and it was really sexual.
Was it Caligula? Let me see. I'm going to put this on for you right now.
And he would always say weird things. Let me see if it's this. It might be this.
There's no way he let you watch Caligula. There's like real sex scenes in
this
movie.
Yeah, there was real sex scenes in it.
My name is Bob Guccione. I promise to make a new kind of motion picture. A picture so controversial, so innovative in its magnitude, that it would fundamentally change the viewing habits of the theater-going public. I made that film, and it's called Caligula.
I think this is it.
No.
Yeah, I think this is it. Can I fast forward it? Oh, is this just a trailer? This is it. This is it. This is what we watched.
There's no way your teacher let you watch Caligula.
This is it. 100%. 100%. This is it. This is it. Yes.
Impossible.
Yes. It was like a porn, I'm telling you. Why would I say he let us watch a porn if I wasn't a porn? It was weird. Look up Teeter. Teeter Bayside High School, Mr. Teeter. I bet his shit comes up.
T-E-T-E-R.
T-E-T-E-R. No. One E in the beginning.
What high school?
Bayside High School.
What town?
Palm Bay, Florida.
Okay, let's see. Anything?
Another teacher busted for sex with student.
Scott Teeter?
Scott Teeter, that's him.
Whoa.
That's my teacher. And he was so cool. I used to play poker with him on the weekends.
Whoa.
Yep, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. You used to play poker with him?
Yeah, on the weekends. Because I worked at a bar. And he was like one of the bar regulars. And after it closed down, we'd play poker.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. He was trying to fuck you.
Yeah.
Do you ever get the feeling?
Yeah, he was kind of weird. He like made comments because I played volleyball, and one day I came in with like bruises on my knees, like really bruised knees, and he was like, "Oh, you look like a fun weekend date." Whoa. Yeah, he would say shit like that.
Oh, this guy's a fucking creep.
Look up his picture.
Hold on, another
just images.
Florida Today from Cocoa, Florida. Yeah, here's the thing. It's just this one right here. It's literally resigned in October amid allegations from a former student that they were inappropriately involved during 3 or 4 years at high school. They found probable cause.
I remember he would make this joke in class. Like he said, a perfect woman comes up to your belly button because then she can put your beer on top of her head and her mouth comes up to your dick or something weird like that. He was like strange.
Whoa.
Click.
This is a different thing. He was just doing a local.
Look up Scott Teeter. I want to see his, go to images. See if there's any pictures of him that come up.
Let me see. Scott Teeter.
Yeah, just go to images.
Hold on, relax. I got you.
Lewis Google's like an 80-year-old. None of these are him.
Yeah, but then that's real. I mean, you're not making that up.
No.
Somebody else talked about it. He resigned.
Of course, why would I make that up?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it's not even that you make it up. What happens is I think you relive these things from the past in a different way. And you don't remember them exactly how they were. And you kind of like, you know, this guy was fucking students.
No. This I know for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I remember, okay, this is really weird. He used to have a girl from another period class come in. And while he was lecturing us, he'd sit in a chair and she'd massage his shoulders.
Yeah, I know.
While
he was teaching us. You told me about this guy before.
Yeah.
Very
bizarre.
And he
had a mouse pad with a former student on it. It was a picture of him and her. And he was like, that's Kelsey. She's my favorite student. We're best friends.
Wow. Yeah. Well, good for you, Scott Teeter. You know what? Shannon, hit the music. Real ass dude of the week. Scott Teeter. Bing, bing, bing. He's a real ass dude.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
Good, what?
There's something I didn't tell you about Scott Teeter.
Did you fuck Scott Teeter? I don't need to find out on a podcast you fuck Scott Teeter. Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you.
We all loved him so much as a teacher because he was so fun and cool that we all wore Team Teeter shirts after he got...
Wait, after he got...
suspended from the school, like...
Why was he suspended from school?
Because he was having a relationship with his student.
Oh, this happened...
While I was in school.
Oh, he got suspended while
he
was in school.
He got caught the year he was my teacher.
Oh, okay. All right, time out. Let me tell you why I didn't... I literally thought you were just saying, like, oh, this happened and it was known. I didn't know that you knew that he got caught.
I was in his class, and then one day he didn't show up. And then we were like, why would you do that to Mr. Teeter? He's awesome!
Team Teeter!
All the girls wore, like, Team Teeter shirts with no bras. It was fucked up.
Yeah, it's like you... It's what you don't want. You just don't want... It's like almost like you don't want the Legion of Skanks defending you if you have rape allegations against you. You're like, guys, it's fine. It's okay. I'll handle this one on my own, you know?
Teeter's like, no, please, God, stop.
Just please, leave well enough alone. Stop taking our favorite teacher! Teeter teaches us better than any. Nobody has showed me more personal attention and love than Scott.
He has office hours.
You call him Scott.
We did.
Was he good looking?
He was not ugly. I mean, he was ugly, but he was not ugly for a teacher. Like
for he was a younger teacher.
Not even. He was like kind of just like
hot.
He must have been like 40, 45. Like in his 40s when this happened.
Good for Scott Teeter.
But he was kind of like old, like
how old were these girls?
Seventh heaven dad looking like.
How old were these girls?
17, 16.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. We all wore braless Teeter shirts.
You guys were fun. You guys were Teeter.
If Teeter would have tried a little harder with me, I would have been massaging those shoulders in fourth period.
You were Teeter teasers. And I can't blame this guy for falling victim. I will say,
made his mouse pad a student. He's not
falling
a victim.
Victim to the trappings of young, horny Florida girls. You know, it's a different breed of girl as well. These Florida girls, they're fucking hot. There's something in the water down there.
Well, we also start drinking at like 12, 13.
Yeah, you're partying.
13,
they're women. Yeah. Have you ever met an 18-year-old girl in Florida? This bitch has got fucking...
She's old.
She's got fucking scars on her face. She's fucking... You know, you got to get them young down there. Florida's not... I can't hate on Scott Teeter for...
We have to stop saying it.
Being a victim of his environment. What do you want me to say here?
Oh, my God.
You think he's listening to the show?
I mean...
If you know Scott Teeter, get him this episode.
Also, yeah. I mean, he deserves to know he was kind of a creep.
I'm not even saying he's a creep. I'm on his side. I'm saying you guys took advantage of Scott Teeter. He's a poor fucking 45-year-old guy. These young fucking hot 17-year-old girls
with two sons.
Titties out. Was his wife hot? His wife is garbage, probably.
I don't
probably.
Know, but I remember
Mrs.
like...
Mrs. Teeter. Blech.
I think he smoked weed because I remember the first day of his class. He was like, my name's Scott Teeter. I'm going to be your teacher. No, I'm not stoned. My eyes just look like this. That was like the first thing he said.
Oh, you guys were like, I love this man.
Yeah, and we were like, oh, awesome. He would try to hook me and the boy sitting behind me up all the time. He'd be like, why don't you two work together? And he had had this thing about having us to work together. He's weird.
He's a creep. All right. Well, good for you, Scott Teeter. Real estate of the week. He did what he had to do. You know, he's playing in traffic. What are you going to do? Also, in Florida, what's the age of consent? I guarantee Florida age of consent is way younger. It's just the fact that he's a teacher.
Decent teacher, too. I learned a lot in his class. He only put the softcore porn on, for 20 minutes at
There's
the end of
no
class.
No way.
That's
played.
The movie he played. Yeah.
Ooh, 18 is Florida age of consent. The law contains a provision allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to consent to having sex with someone of ages 16 to 23. Mm-hmm. To qualify for removal under Romeo and Juliet, the victim must have been at least 14 years old and the offender no more than 4 years older. Okay, so basically,
freshman can date a senior.
Yeah,
they're saying.
And bang.
Mm-hmm.
Like 23-year-old could bang a 17-year-old.
When I was...
I dated a 17-year-old when I was like 22.
When I was...
The girl that I wrote the poem about, when I met her, she was like 2 weeks from turning 18. She was 17 years old. She had just graduated high school.
When I was 13, I was dating a 16-year-old. My parents had a real... And he was almost 17. My parents had a huge problem with
it. Yeah, that'd be a problem.
It was 13... only 3 years, but...
Because at 17, you're trying to fuck... Yeah,
but
he
wasn't. No, he was like a younger, more immature.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I would have a problem with my 13-year-old daughter dating a 17. I would have a problem with my 13-year-old daughter.
He was 16.
dating anybody.
He was 16. I was 13 and he was 16.
Even dating at 13, I would go like, what do you mean dating?
I wasn't really dating.
Your boyfriend
But
in
he had
school?
A car. He had a car and he had a license.
Did
so he would
pick
take
you
me
up?
To movies. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I'm thinking of it
I
as
had my
your
belly
dad
button
right
pierced
now.
When I was 13.
I want to go fight this kid right now.
I
it's
had my belly button
furious.
Pierced. I was wearing crop tops.
Yeah, like
Hopping
I said,
in
Florida,
boys cars.
Florida's, they're garbage people down there.
Yeah.
You deserve what you got, to be honest.
What, a fucking good tan? Happy childhood?
All right. We got a couple more things here, because this is going to be a shorter show today, guys. We're just from, we're hanging out
in
a hotel room in Atlantic City, which, by the way, this is Kim's first time in Atlantic City. What do you think so far?
It's Atlantic City. It's cool.
It's also, here's the problem. Like, it's crazy rainy. It's really cold right now. You're not getting to experience the real Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. You're experiencing the fucking, you know, we're in a hotel room. Got to stay in the resort. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Usually in Atlantic City, I used to come to Atlantic City all the time as a kid. Can you please just stop twirling things? It's distracting the fuck out of me right now.
It helps me not get distracted.
It's just distracting.
Then we have to break up.
Yeah.
I have to...
well, we can't
you
podcast
know what?
Alone.
I have to tell you, I'm just holding something and fiddling something in my fingers privately to the side, and he... is not letting me just... And he took the thing I was fiddling with and started fiddling with it.
I wish it was on video, because I want you to know... Hold on, it's not fiddling. She's got the top of the recorder. Let me tell you what a fucking idiot this girl is sometimes. Oh, it's making me so angry. She's not just fiddling it. She's literally throwing it up and down like a baseball.
No, I'm not. Now
as
you're
I'm trying
doing
to
it.
Fucking
stop.
Talk to her. Just stop fiddling stuff. Stop looking at your phone. Stop. Just fucking connect with me. Look at me. Talk to me.
I don't like you. I don't know how else to tell you.
Fucking end the show in a minute. I hate you. No, Atlantic, dude, I used to come down to Atlantic City as a child. Probably once every summer for like 4 or 5 years. And we used to stay at Bally's. And I used to love Atlantic City. I didn't go on vacations as a child. We didn't have... Like, you grew up in Florida, so you guys could drive a few hours and go to, like, probably an awesome beach. And you knew some people that had a property or whatever it was, right? I didn't have any of that. Like, we lived in, you know, semi-upstate New York. The Jersey Shore is sort of the best you can get in terms of drivable beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a really poor family. My mom didn't... There was no vacation. There was no like, oh, we're going to take a week and go down the shore. It's like...
Is this the Jersey Shore from Jersey Shore?
Not right? Atlantic City. No, they do. I believe Jersey Shore is like Seaside Heights or Wildwood. There's like different parts. But yes, this is the Jersey Shore. But there's different parts of the Jersey Shore. So like Wildwood and Seaside Heights are different areas. They have their own boardwalks. They have their own fucking games, whatever it is that, you know, things to do. Are you that cold? You're really distracting me right now. You're not in the conversation anymore. You're just doing your own thing. You're like, you're shaking and you know, playing with things now. It's like you're not actually talking
you
anymore.
Guys, all I did was put a jacket on.
No, she's not doing anything anymore. I want you to understand, she just gave up halfway through the show. For the people that hated her, you're right to fucking hate her.
Oh, my God. Okay? No, please go back to this Jersey Shore thing. It's so good. Keep describing Jersey Shore.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to this podcast, the past 4.5 minutes, she's not been in the conversation. I promise you, listen to it. Go back and listen. She's going, cool. And she's looking at things, and she's putting a jacket on, and she's going, I'm cold, and shaking. And I'm just talking to a person who's not looking at me or trying to speak.
I just put a jacket on.
That's not what happened. I want you guys to know. Tweet at me. Let me know that I'm wrong, at Luis J. Gomez and at Kimberly Congdon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a moment to do some plugs now, and we'll wrap this one up in a few minutes, because we have to do Scam That Jew. We have a lot of Scam That Jews coming in, which is incredible. And I appreciate all the Jews that are helping us out and really taking advantage of the world. So keep those Scam That Jews coming in. Go to GomezComedy.com and you guys can just shoot me a message through there. Make sure you put Scam That, comma, Jew in the subject line. Make sure you put the comma as well. Sometimes I'm on the subway and I open it up and people are like, oh my God, this guy's some sort of anti-Semite. And I want people to be very clear that I'm pro-Jew, pro-Israel. This is a Christian program and we're, you know, very positive and have a great relationship with the Jewish state. So, also, if you guys love this show, you should know that we have over 250 episodes now available on demand, full video versions of this show, whenever you want them. Go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, Gas Digital subscribers get access to every episode we've ever done on demand, plus all the other incredible podcasts on the network, Legion of Skanks, believe you me. So many more great shows. Use the promo code REP. You get a 14-day free trial. You get it for $6 per month. Monthly cost is just $6 per month. Normally it's $7. Check this out. May 1st, we're going up to $8.50 per month. So if you've been thinking about subscribing, if you've been on the fence, you've been like, maybe, I don't know, do it now. If you subscribe and get the $6 per month rate, you're going to keep it forever. We're never going to raise that on you. We're hooking up the people that were in at the beginning. So do it now. Promo code REP, Gas Digital Network. Get episodes 5 days early. Get the complete archives. You guys get ad-free episodes, the message boards, HD, all that good shit. Okay. That's it. And, go to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Tell your friends about the show. The most important thing you can do for, I mean, not only the show, but, you know, the white race is spreading this show around to your friends. Let them know about the Real Ass Podcast. Let them know that what we're doing for the good people of America. And, just tell 5 friends. You tell 5 friends, they tell 5 friends, they tell 5 friends. Look at that. I'm a millionaire. That's all I need. Right?
Right.
Kim's furious at me now. Kim's furious at me because she stopped paying attention. Now she's mad at me because she stopped paying attention to the podcast.
You are just such a douchebag. How is anyone your fan? Everybody unsubscribe from Gas Digital. This guy doesn't like any of you. He's a piece of shit.
That's not true.
I don't care. He hates all of you.
That's not true.
He hates all of you. All he does is talk shit about you, about how he's manipulating your money out of you.
Manipulate you.
I don't care. I'm furious. I want to fucking gouge your eye out with my acrylic nail that I just got done.
She's been sitting there now just staring at me angrily as I've been doing the vlogs. You guys have no idea the tension that's in this room.
I hate him.
You know what I do,
though?
What
did I get into?
Can I tell you what I do?
What?
I bring the best out of people. What, you know, for you, you need to be fucking, you need to be on edge. You need to be right there. Look how much better you are right now than you were 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, you were a fucking lost deer in headlights.
And now I'm thinking about fucking the casino dealer downstairs.
Yeah, it's unlike the other dealers that you normally spend your time fucking. All right. It took a little while to get out, but I got it out.
Oh, that was
I got
good.
It out, bitch.
Good. Yeah.
We did gamble a little bit last night, which is fun.
We gambled for a really long time last
night. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, I lost $160 in blackjack, which is fine. But when you consider the amount of drinks, the amount of time, the amount of fun, the amount of laughs that were had, it's me, you, the other comics that were on the show, Larry Bia, Casey Balsham, a couple Legion of Skanks fans were hanging out.
How many hours did we gamble for? Probably like 3 or 4 hours.
I'd say 11 to 3, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only lost 50 cents.
Well, I gave you $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you lost $9.50.
No.
$10.50.
No, I got that $10.
That
it's
is true.
Mine now. I lost 50 cents.
But if you lose $160, and I start at the end, I just get reckless because I'm not winning. If I'm up, I'll like leave, you know? But if
no,
I'm not winning, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, I do. When I'm in my fucking, when I go to the slot machines,
But when you're playing blackjack, I've never seen you be up and be like, I think I can walk
I've
away
only been
from
up
this.
One time in my life.
Because you never walk away. Mm.
No,
it's hard. That's how they get you. It's hard because it makes you greedy.
But it's really fun. And you go, if you were to say, hey, dude, I'm going to go just have this to just forget what you're doing. Forget the act of putting the money on the table and putting the cards on the table and doing that. Right. Let's just take the emotion side of it. OK,
uh-huh.
The emotion that you're feeling for those 4 hours. Right.
Yeah.
It's this kind of ride. Right. And there's the ups and the downs and you're with your friends and you're high five and you make friends with these strangers. You're drinking. You're getting all these free drinks. You're, you know, 4 hours later, you have this crazy experience. It's a lot of fun that, in my opinion, is more thrilling than going to dinner and a movie, you know what I'm saying, which you'll spend $160 easily. You know, you go to dinner and a movie, that's that, right?
Yeah.
So you can't look at it as a loss. You have to look at it as a net positive because you're pulling out that experience. Now, I'm not a gambler where I'm going to spend $1,000 ever. I'll never put more than $200-$300 down on, like at a time at a table because mm-hmm. I go into it going, I'm losing this. Every single time I'm going, I'm 100% losing this money.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do that, I think I enjoy the experience a lot more.
Yeah.
Even when you're losing, you get into like a little bit of a shit mood.
Yeah. Well, when you go into it, you have to think, how much am I willing to pay for to have fun?
Yes.
And that's all you should gamble.
Yeah.
So if you have $30 to have fun, you can't expect to win. You can't ever expect to win.
Yeah.
Ever.
We're also just such garbage people. Like we're searching out $5 blackjack tables. We're those people.
Yeah, but we got that blackjack table and we had a lot of fun for a really long time. If I would have done a $20 blackjack table, I would have been done in 10 minutes.
I'm too embarrassed to ask.
Not me.
Where the $5 blackjack table is.
You walked away when I asked last night.
It's embarrassing. It's like, let's just find it ourselves. We don't need to fucking let people know. Because you're not saying, you're saying, hey, do you know where the $5 blackjack table is? But translation, they go, hey, I'm garbage.
I don't care.
And I should be watched by security. Cool? And then you walk away from that person. They go, yeah, we need to eye in the sky. Make sure these Puerto Ricans are watched very closely. They're going to get drunk and probably fist fight each other in a casino at one point.
No.
Yeah.
People don't care.
They care.
They're poor, too. The people you're asking are poor. They have to work there.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, that's the other thing is they give us this card for the week. I'm working here the whole week. I'm here till Thursday, Sunday, Thursday. And they give you free food. And they give you a card that basically gives you access to the employee dining hall, which is called Menja or Menja. I don't even know what that means.
Terrible name for a dining hall.
We didn't realize what we were getting into. We thought we were like looking for some sort of like restaurant. So we kept on like just like garbage people going up to staff members like, hey, where's Menja? Like it's like a fucking Italian restaurant. And we get in and it's two slight steps above prison food.
Yeah.
It is fucking.
I mean, really close to prison
like,
food.
Like, you know, imagine they were like, this is our new prison program where we feed the prisoners very well. I'm like, this is pretty good for prisoners.
Yeah.
For like a week, like my stomach right now is in knots. There's no, I can eat there maybe like breakfast would be safe.
None of it was good. It was bad. No. And you knew it was bad because when we were walking through the hotel going like, hey, we're looking for the employee dining Mangia. People were like, ugh, that way.
Yeah.
It was really, it was behind the bathrooms. You had to go in the
hall.
You had
to smell shit and piss in order to get to it.
Yeah. You have to go behind, it's behind the bathroom. They had like old, like cold scrambled eggs next to like tilapia. Like, that was the choices. Like, you could put, like, tilapia and eggs and, like, maybe, like, a salad next to that. And it was just...
Yeah. Would you like some roasted yams with your Cheerios?
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, it was a little strange. But I also think we went at, like, 4 in the morning. So I'm going to go there today and see if it changes.
It's fucked up, though. Yeah. That's what the employees have to eat.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. So, yeah, you're right. They're also garbage people.
Yeah.
Very depressing place to work, it seems, a casino.
Yeah.
You know... I bet the casino suicide rate, casino employee suicide rate. Let me see. I bet you that's pretty high. Casino employee suicide rate.
It's all Russian roulette.
These jobs have the highest rate of suicide, according to some study. The CDC's occupational suicide list. Wow. Farm workers, fishermen, lumberjacks, and other forestry or agriculture is number one. Carpenters, miners, electricians, and construction trades are number two. Mechanics and installation, maintenance, repair, number three. Factory and production workers. Like, these are all just, you know, these are all thankless, fucking long, hard, lonely jobs that have no creative, like, output. And I shouldn't say, maybe, I guess if you're a carpenter... or if you're doing construction, there can be, but I don't think that if you're on the level where you're banging nails into the wood,
mm-hmm.
you know, typically you're not really using, I think, much artistic vision there. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. more, you know, lining things up perfectly. Yeah. And, you know, there's a, you know, I guess there's something about that meticulous nature, which is really cool. Like, you know, I get how some people could look at that as art in itself, but I always feel like most of the time when you're talking to a carpenter, it's a guy who's fucking banging nails into wood.
Right.
And I think when you don't have any type of creative outlet and you're just grinding day in, day out, and there's no end in sight. You know, there's no huge retirement package where you're making millions of dollars. Even like the idea of like if you're a factory or a production worker or a miner or like... What is your end goal there? If that's your lifetime, like you're like to become the manager of other miners, like to be the best factory worker of all. Like, what, I mean, what is like my Aunt Amory, and I love her with all my soul. She's one of the best people I've ever met in my entire life. And I think this is a lot of people. They have this sort of attitude. You know, she worked in a factory her whole life, just making curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, do you just say, hey, this is not my fucking dream? At one point, do you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I had a fucking dream? I was a little girl at one point, and I had a dream to be a ballerina or a fucking singer or a Broadway actress or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're 30 years in at a factory, you know, and you're fucking doing the same thing. And it's like, how do you not just say, I'm an adult. I'm walking away from this. I'm going to quit right now.
Well, even at that point, how do you not say, like, I'm going to just open a ballet school or, like, do something?
Well, I mean, look, at that point, you haven't been doing ballet. You're just, you know, a fucking 60-year-old woman. But you understand what I'm saying?
What do you, like, do then when you realize it too late?
You walk away. I don't know. I just feel like I know that people
and
have.
What?
I know this for a fact. Because I do comedy and I watch talentless people tell jokes into microphones all the time and they make careers and they become very successful and make money. If you pick a lane, you know, you just pick one path, you forget to survive. You can fucking make a lot of money. You can be very successful no matter what it is. If you want to sell spoons on the side of the highway and just sell metal spoons and that's going to be your whole career path, I feel like you can go and make a living doing that and buy a house and become like there's a path in order to do that, in order to make that a very successful thing, whatever it is that you decide to do. And I watch it happen with comedy all the time. I watch people say, oh, I'm going to be a comic. And it's very silly. And you go, how would you ever make money? How would you make enough money to survive? And then I watch everyone I know do it. And then you go like, oh, it's because human beings are designed to survive. We're designed to make money. We're designed to pay the bills and make the rent. And it's wherever we set that line for ourselves. There's a reason you haven't starved, Kim. You know, nobody's paying your bills for you, but you don't starve. You're never without shelter or without clothes. But your standard, most people's standards are living paycheck to paycheck. And they go like, oh, I just got to get the rent paid. But imagine your head was like, imagine your mind goes, oh, I have to make $1 million a year. And that's just your minimum. Like the same way you survive and you have to eat every day, your minimum is putting $1 million in the bank every year. And you've just moved that line and shifted that line.
Yeah.
I really believe it's just that.
Because no matter how much, even from moving from Florida to LA to New York, everywhere I've moved, my cost of living has gone up a lot.
Yeah.
And like everywhere I've been, like when I was in Florida, the amount I was paying, I was like, there's no way I would be able to make double of that. Now I'm paying triple of that and somehow doing
you just
it.
Make it work. You're not actually working any quote unquote harder.
No.
You were working just as hard.
Yeah.
Your life was just as stressful. You
just
had just as many things.
Work.
You made it work and we're designed to make it work. I'm watching it now when I'm running businesses.
Yeah.
I have my son going to, you know, a private preschool that costs $10,000 a year. I have to, you know, pay rent at two different places. There's all these different things that are starting to add up in my life. And my overhead monthly, if I told you guys what my overhead monthly is, would I just start off having to give every single month just to live, just to survive? You would go like, holy fucking shit, that's crazy. And if you would have told me that when I was 20, that that's the amount of money that I'm making and paying out every month just to survive, I would go, oh my God, I'm rich. Are you crazy? Yeah. I'm fucking filthy stinking rich. But the reality is I'm still living paycheck to paycheck. It's still month to month. I still struggle with money. I still struggle with, you know, my time and managing the things in my life because I am who I am. I'm always, it's my Popeye. but you know, Bobby Kelly said this to me years ago, and we're going to wrap this up in a minute because I think this is a good way to end the show. I guess I'm going to skip questions. Maybe I'll answer one or two. But Bobby Kelly said this to me years ago when I was going to move to L.A., and it was great advice, and it just always kind of stuck with me, you know, and it really, really did, because I was running away from something. You know, I was running away from the lack of success. I didn't have things going on the way that I wanted to in New York, and I was like, oh, L.A. will be the solution. I'll go start fresh there, and, you know, and he said to me, he was like, wherever you go, there you are. And that always, like, kind of hit me. It was like, wherever you go, there you are.
I think that was Shel Silverstein, not Bobby Kelly.
It's a giving tree.
Yeah, literally.
Dad,
I made this back. Up.
Dad, the kid came back and he was an old man, dude. Bobby Kelly as the giving tree. Dude, I'm growing cake on my branches. No, but there's something about that where you go, it's like you're going to run from everything, right? And all of those problems, all the good things as well, everything about you and all of those patterns that happen in your life, they're going to just happen wherever you're going to be. If I move to Jamaica tomorrow, I'm still going to be a loud, aggressive Puerto Rican guy in Jamaica who's trying to make shit happen and fucking hustling and, you know, trying to put all these things in my life together. And I'm going to run into those same problems, the same relationship problems, the same problems with money, the same problems with managing my time, the same problems with, you know, trying to, you know, live my life the way that I want to live it. It doesn't matter. You're just changing these little inconsequential variables. They don't really matter, the little things around you. It's just, you know, they're just other cards that you're going to play. You know, we're playing blackjack all night. You know, at the end of the day, it's like the cards are just going to fucking come out how they come out. You know, and it's how you're playing that game. So, all right, let me see if I can get a couple questions in because I know people love us answering these questions.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
Okay, here it is, guys. Okay, now these are all bad. 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 No. No. Will Gaddy wants to know, do you blaze before you work out? Fuck yeah, I blaze before I work out. I'm going to blaze before I work out today, in fact. I got to do Believe You Me after this. I forgot. 3:30 Eastern. But do you ever smoke?
Me? Every time before I work out, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes the music better and that distracts me more.
Yeah. There's something... working out is the only time that I ever would, you know, what I would say get as close to meditating as possible, where I'm, like, clearing my mind. I'm, you know, I'm not thinking about... And don't get me wrong, I do think about work. I think about my problems. I think about my kid. I think about... What happens is you start thinking while you're, like, in the rhythm of the music that you're listening to, and you're sweating and you're pushing yourself, and then there's these moments where you sort of break through and you go, oh, shit, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm sort of, like, just kind of, like, staring into space and, like, really, like, with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start thinking about the way your muscles feel and, like, the way your blood is flowing through your body. You start to feel that, you know what I'm saying? And then you go, like, you know, I don't really even understand what the quote-unquote definition of meditation is. I never really looked into specifically what meditation is. But for me, it's the only time where I get to a place where I kind of clear my mind of all my stress is mm-hmm. when I'm working out, running, doing something that's fairly extensive. And when I smoke weed... I feel like it's an easier way to do that. It's mm-hmm. an easier way to get a little more zoned out, you know, and there's just something about...
Yeah, zoned out is the exact word for it. That's how I get.
Is that, I mean, zoning out, is that, am I crazy? Is that not what meditation is?
Yeah, it's like daydreaming.
Yeah, you're just kind of like...
You're like just thinking things, but they're mindless. They're just kind of flowing through your head.
You're letting
go.
It's not even controlling the thought. You're just kind of letting the thoughts flow versus...
A lot of people think that you can't think anything, and that's why they can't meditate, but that's not true.
I think it's about not... trying to control where your mind is going and sort of just letting yourself go, letting it take you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, that's why I blaze before I work out. Seenheen wants to know, could you complete a marathon? I know there was a big debate with Bert. Yeah, if I wanted to complete a marathon, if that was my goal, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. I went from being 330 pounds to being 190 pounds with abs. Trust me, that's mm-hmm. harder than completing a marathon. Yeah, that's crazy. Let's see... I think that's going to be it.
Those are real hot questions.
There's nothing. I don't know, man. There's nothing else. What am I supposed to do? We got to wrap. That's it. All right, fuck it. Look, you guys are dope. This is it. Okay, that's it. I'm going to wrap this one. Listen, thank you so much. Real Ass Podcast. Follow Kimberly Congdon on Twitter, Kim Congdon on Instagram. Luis J. Gomez at I Am Shannon Lee. Thank you, Shannon, for running the show from New York while I'm out in L.A. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'm going to Skype in Wednesday. Got Zach and Meek. I'll have a couple guys in studio as well. And I'm going to let Zach and those guys run the show, and I'm going to second mic it. So we'll do that on Wednesday. This is it, Real Ass Podcast. Thanks so much. Peace.